Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. The term secondhand smoke brings to mind cigarettes, cigars, and other tobacco products, which produce strong-smelling clouds of noxious fumes. Research indicates inhaling secondhand smoke raises your risk of lung cancer, and nowadays smoking bans are in effect in public spaces. But is it the carcinogens found in tobacco or the smoke itself that's the issue?
If you think about it, many of us deliberately create conditions in our home that produce secondhand smoke. We burn incense and candles. We light fires in our fireplaces and backyard fire pits. Should we be worried about the effects of secondhand smoke in these situations? To find out, we're turning to one of the country's top experts on lung health to advise us. Dr. Norman Edelman is Senior Scientific Advisor of the American Lung Association and Professor of Preventive Medicine and Internal Medicine at the State University of New York at Stony Brook.
Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Edelman. Thank you so much for giving us your expertise on this topic.
It's a pleasure to join you.
All right. We'd like to understand basically the idea of smoke. I think of smoke as particulate matter, but of course there's burning involved in smoke. I mean, we will talk in a little bit about the whole idea of vaporization because so many young adults are choosing to take their nicotine that way. But let's talk about smoke first. What is smoke?
Well, smoke is the product of combustion. It's the product of burning something. It's very, very complex. The thing we worry about most is the fine particulate matter, which is the same thing we worry about in air pollution. But there are lots of other things to worry about in smoke. For example, cigarette smoke has formaldehyde, which we know causes cancer and which we know causes breathing problems in people who are sensitive to it. It's been estimated, for example, that cigarette smoke contains 4,000 different compounds. So it's very, very complicated. And we focus on a few of the compounds as well as the particulates.
Does something happen to the compounds when they are burned that makes it especially toxic and troublesome?
Well, yes, we believe so. So, for example, when scientists evaluate the effect of smoking cigarettes, they're very careful not just to look at what's in the cigarette, but to actually burn the cigarette and collect the smoke and analyze what's in the smoke, because there's a big difference between what's in the cigarette and what comes out in the smoke. So the heat and the physics and the dynamics do change it substantially.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I wondered, how do cigarettes compare with cigars, pipes, and marijuana cigarettes in terms of how harmful the smoke is?
Well, that's a hard question to answer because it depends not only on what's in the smoke, but what you do with the smoke. How deeply you inhale the smoke, there's a difference between cigars and cigarettes, and how often you use it. There aren't that many studies on this, but it would appear that in terms of the acute effects, you know, taking a few breaths of the smoke, the major effect of all three is irritation of the airways. And that's probably the same for all of them. On the other hand, if you do epidemiologic studies, well, you see much more cancer in cigarette smokers than cigar smokers, but you do see cancer in cigar smokers. And in marijuana smokers, you see some chronic bronchitis, but we have not yet shown that marijuana smokers may get more lung cancer. And that may simply be due to the fact that people who smoke marijuana cigarettes smoke less cigarettes than people who smoke tobacco cigarettes.
And what about the thing that Linda mentioned earlier in terms of a certain age group thinking that instead of smoking marijuana and taking in the smoke, they're actually, I don't know if it's boiling
it,
vaporizing it. Is that as harmful?
Well, that's a big concern of the American Lung Association. So it's quite clear that the people who market e-cigarettes, the vaporized products, are aiming at the teenage market. And what we're concerned about is that these youngsters will be addicted to nicotine and then go on to use conventional tobacco products. And there's evidence of that. So recent evidence shows that among teenagers who use e-cigarettes, there's not less use of ordinary cigarettes. There's actually the same amount or even more use of ordinary burnt cigarettes. So the risk, we believe, at the American Lung Association is addiction of young people to tobacco products of all kinds.
Now, when we talk about secondhand smoke, are we referring to the smoke that fills a room when a cigarette or other thing is burning, or is it also the smoke that is exhaled by the smoker?
It's both. When we refer to secondhand smoke, we refer to the smoke that's coming out of the cigar or the person that's sitting close to you, and also the smoke that's coming out of what this person exhales after he takes a puff on the cigar. Composition is different, but in general, in terms of epidemiologic studies, we treat them as the same thing.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And today we're talking about secondhand smoke, and our guest is Dr. Norman Edelman. He is Senior Scientific Advisor of the American Lung Association. Dr. Edelman, you talked about the dangers being that there is fine particulate matter in the smoke that we breathe. Is there then also fine particulate matter if there is a lingering smoke or tobacco odor in the air? Does that pose any risk?
Well, now you're talking about what people call third-hand smoke. And the evidence is increasing that third-hand smoke is not totally benign. So if you walk into a room where there's been a couple of smokers and they've left the room, you can still smell the smoke. It's in the drapery, in the rug, in the fabric of the chairs. And it's clear now that third-hand smoke is not totally benign. Certainly for people who are sensitive to the odor of cigarette smoke, it's a trigger. So there are lots and lots of patients with asthma whose asthma is readily triggered by a whiff of cigarette smoke, whether they inhale it themselves, whether it's secondhand smoke, or whether it's third-hand smoke.
Can secondhand smoke cause lung cancer and other diseases, or is it that mainly for the primary who's smoking?
No, secondhand smoke is dangerous, and secondhand smoke causes a raft of health problems. In adults, it's been proven to cause lung cancer. It's been proven to cause heart attacks and death from heart attacks, and it's been proven to cause strokes. In children, it causes infection, ear infection, respiratory infection. It triggers asthma. And in infants, it's been associated with an increased incidence of SIDS, or the sudden infant death syndrome, or what we call crib death.
So is it the intensity of the secondhand smoke or the length of the exposure that has the biggest impact?
Oh, that's a really hard question. In general, when we consider the toxicity of a substance, we divide it into different categories based on the time involved. So there are acute effects of breathing in smoke. You know, if you take one whiff of smoke, that'll cause you to cough. If you take 10 whiffs of smoke, it'll cause you to cough a lot more. We talk about the short-term effects, and those are the things that are involved, say, with increasing heart attacks in people who have pre-existing heart disease. And then we talk about the long-term effects, and we include in that the secondhand smoke, increased risk of lung cancer. So it's both. For the acute effects, it's the intensity. For the long-term effects, it's the duration.
Have the growing number of states and communities with laws that no longer allow smoking in indoor areas like workplaces and public places, have you seen that that's really had an impact on public health?
Absolutely. The impact has been dramatic, actually more than most people expected. And where I live in New York City, when we banned cigarette smoking in all public places, there was a dramatic, something like 20% decrease in heart attacks and strokes. So it's been a very, very effective public health measure.
All right. So what about, we did allude to this in the introduction, the idea of incense burning candles or wood smoke from the fire. Are there problems with that in terms of our lung health?
Well, let's talk about wood smoke first, because that's the one that's been studied the most. And that's a real culprit. The American Lung Association advises that people do not use wood-burning fireplaces for decorative purposes. If they have to use wood-burning fireplaces to heat their homes, they should use special fireplaces that's designed to minimize the amount of smoke that escapes indoors. There's lots of toxic stuff in that smoke. There are lots of particles in that smoke. It is certainly bad for anybody with asthma. I have a son with asthma. He won't go near anybody's house that has a wood-burning fireplace. So it's clear that wood-burning fireplaces are a problem, and they even contribute to the amount of air pollution. So in certain areas, when everybody fires up his fireplace for the holidays, it increases the amount of particulate air pollution. Now, the issue with candles is different because the exposure is much less and there's been much less study. What we can say is smoke is irritating. So if somebody with asthma walks into a room where candles are burning, especially if they're scented candles, that person may well get an asthma attack or may well have difficulty breathing. I'm not aware of any studies of the long-term effects of inhaling candle smoke.
Many people hearing this interview may be thinking, my parents or caretaker smoked in the house and car for years when I was growing up. Is there anything they can do now to protect themselves?
Well, in general, there's nothing you can do to make the lungs recover from damage that's been done. What you can do to protect yourself is to avoid any additional insult or damage to the lungs. So don't smoke. Don't get exposed to secondhand smoke. Lead a healthy life. Exercise. Eat your high-oxidant vegetables. All of those things will be somewhat helpful. Make sure you get your flu shots. Make sure you get your pneumonia shots. Just protect your lungs from further damage. You can't really reverse whatever damage has been done.
So often when we have a physical and they're getting a health history, they ask about our past history of smoking. But you would think because secondhand smoke is so dangerous and unhealthy that some of these forms would go into more detail about your own family members so they know what you're exposed to. Do you think one day that kind of data will be collected?
Well, as a lung specialist, we ask those questions all the time. But that's because we see people who already have problems with their lungs. You know, the question is would it be useful to ask those questions of somebody who has no apparent lung problem? And the answer is yes, it would be useful. But, of course, we have to be considerate of primary care physicians and not keep asking them to do more and more burdensome work.
Dr. Norman Edelman is Senior Scientific Advisor of the American Lung Association and Professor of Preventive Medicine and Internal Medicine, Pulmonary and Critical Care, at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. Dr. Edelman, thank you so much for your time.
It's been my pleasure.